Find ourselves today back to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew. You are welcome to turn there or to follow along on the screen or on your device or in your Bible. Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Hear these words of Christ. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God, and to that we always say, thanks be to God. Please be sure to view your bulletin and read the little part that I have in there about verse 47. It's a little sidelight to today's message. And also, just as a way of thinking about this passage, in verse 48, some translations put it this way. Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is perfect, you too be perfect. Or, just as your heavenly Father is holy, you too be holy. More on that in a moment. Today, I want to help us recover the idea that being a child can be a good thing. So often we'll say to someone, stop acting so childish. Matter of fact, we had a saying when I was growing up that you probably had too. Don't act your age. Thank you. Say that again. I got it first service, but I didn't get it second service. Act your age, not your shoe size. And it just dawned on me that I was trying to say Bob Rohrbaugh earlier. I'm not with it today at all. But did you ever say that to somebody? Act your age, not your shoe size. Or have you ever said to somebody, stop being such a child? Today, I want us to say, start acting like a child of God. And with that in mind, let's hear some antidotes about some children. This comes from Jen. I recently came across this little story about one of my friends. One day, her 4-year-old was upstairs and yelled, ouch! When she asked what happened, he yelled down to her, I stubbed my toe. You know, the one that ate roast beef. Remember that? This little piggy went to the market. This little piggy stayed home. Did you not do that one when you were little? How many of you know that one? How many of you did that with your kids? Kids, how many of you just couldn't stand that? Here's another one. This comes from Abby. My 7-year-old was convinced she could speak Spanish thanks to Dora. Do you know who Dora is? Dora the Explorer. All grandparents and parents should be aware of that. One day, at a Mexican restaurant, the waitress said, gracias. And with all the conviction in the world, my daughter responded, piñata. Now, piñata is a thing you hit and knock candy open, you know. It's really de nada. But she was close to saying welcome. Here's another from Christine. About halfway through a spaghetti dinner, my three-year-old daughter asked what the green stuff on the pasta was. When I told her it was parsley, she threw up her hands and said, "Well, I've never had it before, and now my life is ruined." Now, there's a little drama queen in the making, right? A little drama in that one. Children are absolutely precious. Amen, church? Now, children can be a challenge, right, from time to time. And children of God can be a challenge to God from time to time. But I want to lift up the beauty of being childlike in our faith. The psalm writer wrote this: children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Parents and grandparents, think about your family in that vein. A heritage, a reward. And I know that there are days that sometimes that's challenged, but God means for good to come through the family. Listen to what Jesus did one day. The best object lesson that I think He ever gave in all of His ministry. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. I know I make a fool of myself in public on a regular basis, and it can happen in any shape, way, or form. But when I see kids, something changes in me, and I want to get down on their level, and I want to start playing Legos. There's something so very precious when I see a child. I think you share that same love. It might just be high time that we stop acting like adults who sometimes are negative, who are sometimes people that fear change, who sometimes are way too serious, sometimes, and begin acting like children who often can be full of wonder and innocence and, oh, the faith." I remember telling Faith one time that I found the promised land. It was in Weirton, West Virginia, of all places. And there was this little park. It was a bird sanctuary. And I told her, I've seen the promised land, and it's beautiful. And she said, "Daddy, when can we go?" Just childlike faith for some. And today God is calling us to step it up a little bit, to act more childlike in the areas of faith. Matter of fact, Jesus introduced this whole idea by saying, "Act like children of your Father in heaven," in verse 43. And I think the rest of that passage is really a picture of what that looks like, what it looks like to act like a child of God. Here again, what children of God do. Children of God offer their left cheek if their right cheek is slapped. Ooh. Children of God give their coat if their shirt is taken. Children of God go 2 miles, go the extra mile versus going 1 mile. Children of God give to those who ask. Children of God refuse no one who wishes to borrow from them. Children of God love their enemies, and they pray for those who harass them. Children want to imitate their parents and their grandparents. That's good and bad, right? I see all the time more of my qualities in faith, and I'm sure that Susan sees the same qualities in Betsy and Timothy as she has. And sometimes that's a great thing, but I often find myself praying for Faith because I know what some of those qualities are that she's inherited from me. But we're wired this way, to imitate, to be like. And when we are good role models, that works out pretty well most of the time. Think of it this way. We are to imitate our Heavenly Father, who is always a good role model. And adults have a major role to play here in the lives of children. Hear these words from the Bible, Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start early. Start it often. Deuteronomy 6 picks up on this. Impress the commandments of God on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Some of us are old enough to remember when school teachers taught the Ten Commandments. When I was in fifth grade, Mrs. Wigman read from the Bible every morning, which was at that time illegal, but not enforced a whole lot. Today, it's practically impossible. It's not going to happen at school. It's up to us. Parents, grandparents, teachers, mentors, aunts and uncles, to start early and start often. And you know, the more tender the age, the better. So that it becomes habit. So that it becomes a common practice. Many of you know this. Many of you have done this. In Matthew 18:10, Jesus said this, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Did you know that kids have angels? Guardian angels who watch over them and yet gaze upon the glory of God. No man or woman has ever seen God face to face. But these special angels, that's how precious children are. And here is Proverbs 22:15, kind of a opposite effect here. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. We would agree with that at times, and sometimes adults have folly. They never maybe quite grow up. But the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Now, let me distinguish here worldly discipline and godly discipline. In God's great scheme of things, proper discipline is this: always motivated by love. Never gets administered without love. And always gives appropriate consequences. That's the way God's discipline works. That's the way it works in the family of God. I want to encourage parents and grandparents, don't ever discipline out of anger. Take a breather first. Count to 10. Step away. Administer discipline out of a heart for love. Doesn't mean that you can't be stern. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't stick to your guns. You should. And always provide appropriate consequences. Going back to Matthew 18, see that you do not despise. Sometimes our discipline can be far too heavy-handed, and sometimes maybe not enough. There's a balance there, and that's godly discipline. The Pharisees taught a whole different kind of discipline. They said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you hurt me, I hurt you. But this goes back all the way to the law of Hammurabi in 2200 B.C., and it was instilled so that nobody would exact a greater damage in return for an injury. In other words, it's not appropriate to knock out two eyes when one of your eyes was knocked out. So this was used to provide equal justice. But Jesus brought it up and cancels it and gives us something new. And Jesus uses his three illustrations to get his point across. Number one. Jesus said, I tell you, do not resist an evil person. This does not mean do not defend yourself. Did you hear that? This is not saying just stand there and take it all. The meaning of the Greek is simply this: don't pay back evil for evil. Did you get that? Don't react an evil intention, an evil motivations. It means don't escalate the situation by trying to get even. You've seen those hats, haven't you, and those bumper stickers? I don't get mad, I just get even. That should never be part of a Christian's thinking or acting. Did you catch that, church? That is not Christian behavior. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the get even part. Leave that up to my Father in heaven. Instead, return kindness for hurt, prayer for injury. Do you see where Jesus is going with this? He continues, whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Does that mean that you should just always give a cheek and be beaten to senselessness? No. No, it does not. There's a limit. And I think that Jesus was saying, first thing I want you to do is to be very patient and don't respond aggressively or rudely. The Bible says that we are to be slow to anger. Offering the other cheek gives us a second to remind ourselves that this is not at all about retaliation. It's about patience and love. Jesus forgave even those who put him on the cross. Remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, the backhand in Middle Eastern culture is insult. Primarily insult. When you're insulted, don't return insult. Do you know how some people, when they get attacked, the mode of a return is just as vicious and sometimes worse? It's just kind of the makeup. But Jesus is saying, I want you to have my Heavenly Father's makeup here. I want you to think about your actions. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than many mighty men. So Jesus here is teaching that we should not meet evil with equal or greater force. We are to meet it with a greater positive force. Not easy. Not at all easy. Matter of fact, it doesn't mean that we don't have rights when we're struck. When Jesus was slapped, he said, why did you do that? Why do you slap me for my preaching? You've heard what I've said. I've said it always in public, and it's the same thing today as it was yesterday. And when Paul was slapped, he said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't treat me that way. And he appealed to Caesar and had a trial thanks to being a Roman citizen. It doesn't mean that you're to sit there and take it without any defense whatsoever. Jesus is saying it is best to turn the other cheek, to receive a second effrontery, than to stoop to the same level as the one striking the blow. Did you get that? Do you see where God is calling us to be a cut above? One more example. Actually, two. The second significant insight from Jesus, he said this, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Roman soldiers, if they were walking along and had a pack, they could stop anybody that they wanted to and put the burden on their shoulders, and they could say to them, walk with me. And that person, by law, was required to walk 1 mile, no more, no less. Could you imagine trying to get to the store and the kids are at home hungry and your husband is still at work and all of a sudden a soldier stops you and says, take my pack? How would you feel about that? I wouldn't like it. Nobody does. But Jesus was calling the people to a higher ethic. He said, hey, you're going to be asked, give them twice as much. Maybe on that second mile, they'll begin to think about their actions. Maybe not. But you be kind. You be generous. Give more than what is expected. Hey, Christians have been known for this for centuries. Those who truly practice the faith don't mind going out of their way to be generous and kind, even when insulted and injured. Last, Jesus gives this example. If anybody wants to sue you and take away your shirt, give them your coat as well. Again, this does not mean that you don't have legal rights. It means to be as gracious and generous as possible before resorting to legal self-defense. Do everything in your power to get along, to be gracious, to be kind, until you have no choice. Sometimes you have to stick up for your rights. Sometimes court is necessary. Jesus is saying, do everything else you can first. Do everything that you can. Jesus said, give to the one who asks you. Jesus is not encouraging us to give endless amounts of money to every shady person or con artist. He is encouraging us to be generous. He is appealing to us to be not so self-centered and selfish, but to help meet legitimate needs. Jesus didn't say you couldn't question somebody to find out the validity of the need, but give if it's a genuine help to another. Matter of fact, I want to tell you that this whole section is really summarized in this. Jesus was not encouraging us to be victims. He was encouraging us not to seek personal revenge. I hope you hear that more loudly than anything else today. Don't seek personal revenge. I'll close with two stories that help me live this out. One of my heroes is the Dr. Martin Luther King. And if anybody had to deal with insult and injury, he did. He wrote a sermon. Get this. The name of the sermon was called Loving Your Enemies. And he's writing out of personal experience because he had so many enemies. He was jailed 20 times because he suggested that African Americans deserved equal rights. He was maliciously insulted and branded as a communist. His house was firebombed on one occasion. He received multiple death threats. Every place he went, he had to watch. And he wrote a sermon, and here's just a few lines from this sermon, Loving Your Enemies. Hate multiplies hate in a descending spiral of violence. I can hear him say it in my mind. And is just as injurious to the person who hates as to the victim. There's a lot of truth in that. But love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend, because it has creative and redemptive power. Oh, those words are just full of honey. Such sweet, wonderful words, powerful words. Let me tell you how this actually played out in someone else's life. When I was finishing my junior year at Alderson Broaddus College in 1987, a terrible incident took place in the Persian Gulf. The USS Stark was attacked. 39 American seamen were killed when an Iraqi pilot hit the ship with a missile. Newspapers carried a picture of the son of one of these seamen, a shy 5-year-old boy, John Kaiser. He was standing with his hand on his heart as his father's coffin was loaded onto a plane to take him back to America. Just heartbreaking, really. But his mother said, I don't have to mourn. I don't have to even wear black, because I know my husband is in heaven. And I am happy, get this, I am happy because I know he is better off. Later on, she and young John sent a letter and an Arabic New Testament to the pilots of the Iraqi plane, addressed to, quote, the man who attacked the Stark, Dad's ship, in the hope that it will show that even the son and the wife do not hold any grudge and are at the same time praying for the one who took the life of our father, end quote. That's not possible without the love of God inside a person's heart. It's the only way I can explain it. It's the power of God gushing out that doesn't see in just one event the end of life, but an opportunity. As much as they love their father, their husband, they wanted this man to gain the knowledge of eternal life. Wouldn't it be such a great thing if while they're in heaven someday, hugging one another, praising God because of the work of Jesus Christ and this little boy and his mother. Enemies perhaps in this world, but friends for eternity. Isn't that a beautiful picture of heaven? And you know what? I'm not worthy of that kind of picture. None of us are. We have given or been given so much grace, it's unbelievable. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But God still gives it and gives it and gives it again. Hey, don't ever say that you can't forgive somebody, that you can't heal, because if you've ever been given grace by God, then you can give it away. Matter of fact, God expects it from his children. God gives it and wants us to give it to. I want to close with a benediction before the benediction. The Apostle Paul was writing about this same theme, and at the end of Romans, he gives this wonderful, wonderful benediction. I want you to close your eyes as I read it. Just maybe bow your heads for a second and listen to every word. Never pay back evil for evil to anybody. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. So if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You can look up. You can raise your heads. Do you want to live this way? I do. Is it easy? Uh-uh. But Jesus said, the things that are impossible with humanity is possible with God. And with God, all things are possible. Sir Francis Bacon said, a man who studies revenge keeps his own wounds green. Ugh. That's kind of graphic. Revenge is death to our fragile human love. Revenge belongs to God and not to us. Children of God understand that better than anybody. But it has to start with Jesus Christ in our hearts. And I invite you to that yet again today as we bow our heads to pray. Sweet Jesus, precious Lord, come into our being. Perhaps for the first time, or perhaps yet again. And invigorate in us these actions and these thoughts that seem so foreign to this world, but so much needed in our families and at work and at school and behind the wheel of the car. Lord, help us to get beyond the disconnect that some Christians seem to foster, some who say one thing and do another. We realize that doesn't glorify you, but hurts the cause of Christ. Forgive us when we participate that way, when our actions and our words don't equal up. Instead, help us to live out these principles in the Bible. even at great cost to our own reputation. Help us to be faithful because you are faithful. Help us to love because you loved us. Help us to give grace because you gave us grace. And may the world see a real picture of a Christian in us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.